You're welcome to listen to this edition of Tidal Unboxed, but I would also encourage you to watch it on our YouTube channel to really get the full visual effect as we discuss and show the history of various pieces of boxing equipment. Hey there, once again we're going to spend a few minutes looking at the evolution of boxing equipment, its history within the industry, and as part of the sport. Even though we've mainly focused on gear, our next subject doesn't even require it. It certainly didn't in the beginning. Fighters performed this next exercise long before they had something to punch or hit with. Yep, I'm talking about shadow boxing. It's been a part of the sport since its earliest beginnings, and if you really look at it, it was an exercise that was well ahead of its time. Without even necessarily knowing what they were doing, boxers were the earliest adopters of sport-specific warm-ups and training. Fighters like Jack Johnson would spend hours shadow boxing in order to warm up, practice technique, and hone each move he made. Fighters envisioned the strategy and fighting style of their opponent. They utilized the ring and practiced until their punches flowed effortlessly. Although they don't implement it as their primary source of training and conditioning anymore, today's fighters use it in pretty much the same way, or at least they should. It wasn't until recent years that other sports adopted a similar approach to warming up, focusing on movements that actually apply and directly correlate to their sport. Rather than static stretching, it's better to warm up using similar movements and mechanics. If you're preparing to box, throwing punches and moving around the ring at a lesser pace is much more beneficial. It better prepares you for real action rather than traditional stretching or general warm-ups do. Dynamic exercises that maximize active ranges of motion are much more effective. When performed at different speeds and building in intensity, they best prepare the body for the demands of sport-specific training and competition. Today we have numerous training devices to help heighten and enhance the benefits of basic shadowboxing. Elastic shadowboxing bands, like this one, provides additional resistance and increases the difficulty level of shadowboxing. The resistance also adds strength and conditioning aspects to this exercise. Another fantastic addition are what we call power balls. These are basically miniature medicine balls that add weight to your routine, which engages more muscles in the delivery of each punch and increases the demands. There are also numerous hand weights and resistance bands and grip devices that you can use to next level your shadow boxing routine. One aspect of progress is simply taking something that's been proven to work and building on it, making it better. This is an area that's a good example of that, and it's something we're working towards every day. So next, let's talk about medicine balls. One of the oldest and earliest pieces of equipment, the medicine ball, dates back to ancient Greece. At that time, medicine balls were made from pig bladders or animal skins that were filled with sand. Back then, they were mostly tossed back and forth for fun, fitness, and sport before being more prominently used for any real type of training. Medicine balls didn't really come into play or catch the attention of the general public until the 1930s, when President Herbert Hoover and his staff were seen on the White House lawn playing a game called Hoover Ball. The game looked similar to volleyball, except that a heavy ball was thrown back and forth over the net and was presented as the perfect prescription for better health and wellness. Obviously, that's where the name medicine ball came from. You know, this is a perfect example of why the whole evolution of equipment interests me. How innovation, creation, these marketing techniques, naming conventions, and products all develop over time. Anyway, after that, some of the earliest images and references of the use of medicine balls, in terms of them being used for boxing and for hardcore training, came about with Jack Johnson. You know, he was an innovator who welcomed new ideas and was the first on many levels. Since that time, nearly every recognizable fighter, from Sugar Ray Robinson to Sonny Liston, has had a medicine ball thrown to their midsection, tossed it back and forth to a partner, jumped with it, ran with it, punched at it, or in some way incorporated it into their routine. Now more than ever, we understand how the medicine ball can be a highly beneficial part of boxing training and can enhance total body power. It demands the use of all muscles together to generate maximum force and is still the prescription for better health and overall peak physical conditioning. In its earlier days, a medicine ball would have looked something like this. The all-leather construction was durable and made it easy to grip. Rubber versions, like this, can be used for throwing and catching drills that focus on being responsive. You also have flexible slam balls that can be used for more explosive power drills. More traditional designs lend themselves to all-around gym use and mimicking the ways that our forefathers of boxing used them. If you Google Medicine Ball Sonny Liston, Medicine Ball Sugar Ray Robinson, Medicine Ball Jack Johnson, you'll see all you need to know to make it a part of your boxing training. I also want to talk about the jump rope. Although painted images of skipping bamboo and vines date all the way back to Egyptian times, around 1600 BC, Dutch settlers are actually credited with bringing the jump rope to America during the 1600s. At that time, it was only used for kids for fun, but the activity of skipping rope thrived in the early 1940s, predominantly with children in the inner cities, because it was inexpensive and could be taken anywhere. In the early 20th century, boxers began using ropes in training to improve conditioning, leg strength, and foot speed. The game changer really happened in 1963 when heavyweight champion Sonny Liston appeared on The Ed Sullivan Show. His brief segment showed him skipping rope to the song Night Train. Although it had been in the fight game for a long time, the popularity of the jump rope surged after that and became a staple of every fighter's routine. Now you can watch footage of nearly every boxing great putting time in on this crucial piece of equipment. Sugar Robinson, Ali, Tyson, Ray Leonard, Duran, Mayweather, every fighter who takes his craft serious can put on a clinic with one of these. Originally, jump ropes were primarily constructed of leather, but now use a variety of dense rubber materials and plastics. Styles range from leather to rubber to traditional plastic beads. Many feature ball bearings in the handles that increases the rope speed and decreases wear and tear at the point of rotation. Using it to get in peak physical condition to gain foot speed and muscular endurance in the legs makes it the perfect addition to the sport of boxing. You only have to look at some of the boxing greats to recognize who changed skipping rope from a pastime to a pursuit. You know, when you really look at it and study sports history, boxing is progressive and ahead of its time in many areas, from dynamic warm-ups to strengthening tools to gaining speed. And there we have it with another look back into the history of boxing equipment. Thanks for tuning in and taking part in keeping our boxing past alive for the next generation. Thank you for watching this episode of Title Unboxed. If you're anything like me, you can never get too much boxing. So if you'd like to watch more episodes, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and our Title Boxing YouTube page.